August 13, 2014, for the record.
Our big agenda item here today, we're starting with, is the FGE program. And, you know, this last spring, we were testing in the Bonneville Powerhouse 2 gate wells, measuring the hydraulic conditions to determine, you know, where we should go as far as a path forward and developing a design tool with a CFD model that can be used to evaluate alternatives. And so Seth is here today, and he has some results from that effort, as well as some CFD modeling work that's been done. Our goal today is hopefully to look at these images and talk about where we're at and determine if our hydraulic criteria has been met for the gate well and where to go from here, and hopefully have a recommendation to carry forward to the DDR phase. And so with that, I'll hand it over to Seth and George. Not at all.
Where's the microphone?
So I've got a presentation for those on the phone. We'll try to, if you have questions about what we're looking at, just ask. So kind of a quick overview of where we've been, where we're at, where we're going. Where we left off, I think, you know, we did a prototype of the turbulence reduction device in spring of 2013, and we did some biological and hydraulic testing on that. The biological testing showed some improvement in survival, but we didn't quite get to where we wanted to get with that prototype. And the other thing that came out of that was we collected some velocity data and noticed some hydraulic conditions within the gate well that we hadn't previously seen, specifically hot spots on the upper panels of the VBS panels. And so after that, we decided to kind of circle back and reevaluate alternatives from our EDR. And in order to do that, we wanted to, one, recalibrate our CFD model based on the field data that we collected in 2013. And then kind of use that as a tool to reassess the alternatives. We also decided to do some additional field testing, collect additional velocity data for model validation. And then with the CFD model and the field data together, decide on a preferred alternative to carry forward to the DDR. So that's what we've been working on. That's kind of where we're at right now. Once we get consensus on the preferred alternative, we're going to jump right into the DDR, try to prototype something and test it next spring, and then go on to a full implementation, P2. So what I'm showing on the screen right now is I've got an image on the left that's from the velocity data that was collected in 2013. And this is showing the contours, the colors show the velocity going through the screen, parallel, or perpendicular to the screen, I guess. And basically what I'm just trying to show is we've got hot spots. And on the right is an image from the same flow condition from our CFD model, the recalibration that we've been working on, showing that we're reproducing those same hot spots in our CFD model. So we've kind of recalibrated the model for this round of analysis.
Seth, this is your second CFD replicates that field data?
Yeah.
Really?
So the scales are a little different. The colors aren't exactly the same, and so it's hard to do a direct comparison just by looking at the colors. But what I'm trying to show is the hot spots that you see up here, these pink areas, and the field data. We're seeing now in the model. We had previously shown this in our model because we calibrated to a physical model that indicated those flow patterns.
And these are flow patterns where?
This is an A, Bay A, okay, and this is showing three screen velocities and vectors.
As an average for the width of the depth of the gate well, or is this a point?
This is 7.5 inches upstream of the
ABS.
Yeah.
Okay. 7.5 inches upstream?
Yeah, it's the same location where we collected that data. So okay. We take a slice of from all.
Sort of upstream. Oh, that one.
Yeah.
It's going the other way.
Is this view looking from downstream to upstream?
The data is looking from upstream to downstream.
Into the VBS.
Into the VBS. The model is flipped.
Oh, it's flipped. So, okay. But it's still showing that same cross section.
Yes.
In the gateway.
We're just looking from the back model.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So your model is showing a recirculation occurring there, and it's not in the field data?
Yeah. This is a pattern we see quite a bit. This doesn't show it as much. You can start to see it. Some of these vectors go off the side. And I think it's really the TRD, we've got this sudden expansion right here. Once we get above the 31 daywall beam. And I think what the model is showing is that creates this area of recirculation on both sides. And we do see that a little bit here. It's not as prominent.
And so this is without TRDs in place. This is existing gate wells. Okay.
Yeah. And this is at 15K.
Okay. 15K. Yeah. Oh, 15K.
15K inflow.
So, good range.
So, I mean, there's not perfect agreement, but I think it's definitely an improvement from where we were before. And it's trying to say which one, you know, there's error in field data, there's error in modeling, so it's, you know. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at with the calibration. So we collected some additional data this past May, and we collected some data at the baseline conditions, 14. Unit 14A, we collected baseline conditions, 15K CFS, and then 18K, which I think it's the first data set that we've got with that high of unit flow. And then we collected a baseline condition at 13C, too, because I don't think we had any previous data in a C slot at all. Then we installed a flow control plate in 15A that blocks 50% of the opening on the downstream side of the gate well. And collected flow for that condition at 18K CFS. And we also modified a VBS panel. We just completely blocked off the upper two panels on our spare VBS and collected data at 18K for that configuration as well. And we've got some additional testing that's supposed to start next week. We're going to collect some baseline flow in 14B. I think we'll just run the unit as high as we can get it, given the conditions that are out there right now. And then we'll collect some additional data with the flow control plate at a lower unit flow, so we have a couple points on that line. Same with the BBS, modified BBS.
Just a quick question, Seth. Just to catch me up, since I'm maybe not as aware of all the background on this one. Baselines are in different bays than the actual test.
Yeah, so
at least for the control plate.
Yeah, because we installed the plate in 15A, so we can't get a baseline there because it's kind of a permanent installation.
But
is there baseline information for that?
They're all both the same.
Well, hydraulic conditions across the powerhouse that gives varying conditions in the gate wells and of the two units that are the most similar, the middle units with the straight-on flow, units 14 and 15, are the best comparisons. That's why we keep targeting 15A and 15A. Yeah. Maybe two bays.
Were those demonstrated in the previous slide?
So the previous...
Was that from a different bay?
The data that was collected here, we collected in 14 and 15 last time. I think 15A, this is 15A. 14 had the TRDs in place, and then 15 didn't, so this is from 15.
Thanks for...
Our CFD model is just a single, it's a sectional model, so it's a single unit, all three units.
Wasn't there a difference, though? In 15, you got the data later when it came back online?
For the high flow test.
2013?
No, 14. This is 13. And
oh.
You didn't have any high flow at 13. In May, wasn't it actually June? We were in the 15th.
Super late. Yeah, actually, you're right. It was like the last week in May, first week in June.
That was the first measurements we took at 18K through the unit. For a year before, we were able to achieve 17K, like a higher end.
Yeah, 17. So any other questions on the field data? So we've been reassessing alternatives, doing a lot of CFD modeling with our recalibrated model. And I think last time we met, we talked about what our criteria was. It was basically to not exceed the flow through the VBS compared to what the flow is at a unit flow of 15K. So that's kind of what we're shooting for with our reevaluation.
Is that the only criteria you're using, or are you using hydraulics within the gate wells?
Yeah, so this is the only like hard and fast criteria, but we're also looking at turbulence, flow patterns, and things like that, sort of more qualitatively. These are the alternatives that we were considering. It's a really similar list to EDR, some few changes. But the first one was an adjustable louver device. Second one was a sliding flow control plate. Third one is a static flow control plate, which we've got installed in 15A right now. A4 is a modified VBS, essentially changing all the porosities on the VBS panels, restricting flow that way. 5 is not really intended to be a standalone measure. It's more of addressing hotspots, so changing porosities on the upper VBS panels to address the hotspots. 6 was taking out the turning vane, 7 was taking out the gap closure device, and 8 was taking out the STS. And then 9 was our gate slot fillers or turbulence reduction device that we prototyped previously. So we've done some CFD runs, and what this table is showing is just purely looking at our flow criteria, which of these don't meet that, and those are the ones we limited first off. So this 245 is our magic number. This is the Bay A VBS flow at a unit flow of 15K, so from our CFD model. So 245 is kind of what we're shooting for as the upper limit for flow through the VBS. And then so a couple of these alternatives are eliminated right away. Removing the turning vane doesn't reduce flow up the gate level. We get a really similar flow with the turning vane in or out. And so that doesn't get us there. Same with the gate slot filler. We still have too much flow going up the gate well. So those two are pretty easy to eliminate. The gap closure device and STS were also pretty easy to eliminate. They reduced the flow quite a bit, maybe too much, at the cost of FGE. And so we eliminated those just purely based on the impacts to FGE, and also the hydraulic conditions that they create in the gate well are less than favorable. So those were knocked off the list. The two adjustable components, the louvers and the sliding flow control plate, those were kind of eliminated the first round. We didn't look too much more at those. I mean, the O&M costs and the time to implement them alone was kind of what knocked those off the list the first time around, and that's still the case. The VBS, modifying the upper panels, that's kind of a supplemental piece, so not really a standalone. And then modifying the VBS itself, that would take probably a physical model to do that design, and it's sort of beyond the time frame that we have to analyze that. So
So really, we were just left with the static flow control plate.
So the ENA is essentially telling us that we didn't or couldn't perform.
The ENA means that we didn't do it. We didn't do a CFD model, so we don't have a flow for it.
So what did you? I mean, you just said you re-examined these with the new CFD. What did you look at this list with the new CFD?
So the ones with flows, the static flow control plate, removing the turning vane, removing the gap closure device, removing the STS and the gate slot fillers.
But you didn't look at the adjustable ones, right?
No, those would be similar. I mean, like a adjustable flow control plate would be similar to a static, you know.
And the static CFD model runs were conducted at how much percent blockage?
So we did two here. They're shown. One was at 25% blockage, and one was at 50. And the 25% is showing that we're not quite getting to our target flow up the gate well. 50, we're probably squeezing it a little too tight.
So removing the gap closure device would take you down to 168.
Yeah, there's a lot of flow that ends up going through that gap. We'll check it out.
Do we have any idea on a head to FG that would?
Based on the work that they did, you know, leading up to the improvements, we could probably expect, you know, about a 12 to 14% hit.
To the percent of fish through the bypass system.
Yeah.
So if they had 6%, we drop down to like 4.5% or 5% or something like that.
Well, if we're guiding 50%, mm-hmm. we'd probably drop down to 35% or 36%.
So those are absolutes.
Well, that was
absolute guidance numbers, not a percent.
Absolutely.
You're saying it's a 13-15% absolute FG reduction, not 30-50% reduction.
Right.
That's correct. That's Trevor's asking
this. Yeah, that's just a.
That's right on the file.
You know, that's just a, you know, powerhouse wide type of rough guess.
So what I'm
seeing. There's a lot of fish that go through.
What I'm seeing here is that something between the two flow control plate percentages. I mean, it's just a matter of deciding.
Yeah, for the A, and these flows shown are in the A. So yeah, maybe something in between, or maybe it's like a 25% blockage with modifying the upper panels on the VBS might get us there, something like that. But yeah.
That starts to get pretty complex.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I want to look at the hydraulics in the gate well itself. Do you have that information?
We do. Yeah. So is everybody okay with how we have arrived kind of at the static flow control plate so far?
Okay. Well, the one comment though, the one criteria, sorry, I'm coming to this late, you said, well, we need a physical model to look at that. We don't have this, we rolled it out.
Changing the VBS design, yeah. Right. That's a pretty complicated design. Yeah. There was a lot that went into that initially, and it would be a pretty significant effort to reevaluate that. It's beyond the capability of our CFD.
Yep.
We don't feel comfortable designing it. So I have printouts of these images that we can spread on a table if you want. Might be hard to see on the screen, but what I'm showing here, this is some of the output from our CFD modeling. Left is baseline, nothing done to the gate well. 15K is sort of our design condition that we're trying to meet. This is our baseline 18K, kind of where things get bad. This is A slot, B slot, C slot, so kind of looking from downstream to upstream. And this is a section through the A slot showing velocity magnitude, and there are vectors that don't show up on the screen very well, but I do have handouts if you want to take a closer look. You can do that. What we're seeing here, these are kind of the plots we were looking at before of through screen velocity on the VBS. The darker colors, the reds are higher velocity. We're seeing hot spots like where we've seen in the field.
Those are velocities, or are they a measurement of turbulence?
These are velocities.
Velocities, okay.
Here we have turbulent kinetic energy.
Okay.
An isosurface shown cut off at
1, whatever that value means, but it's sort of a relative comparison. Right. So we can see going from 15K to 18K, there's more green area, there's more turquoise, essentially. So that's just the baseline condition there. This is the same baseline, 15K, kind of our design condition, and then showing a flow control plate, 25% blockage here, and then 50% blockage in the same plots. And remember that the 25 reduced the flow. We didn't quite get to where we wanted to get. 50 was maybe squeezing it too much. But what we're seeing, I think, is similar flow patterns. The 50% blockage, we start to see a little more erratic flow condition, but we see the hot spots kind of disappearing.
Diminishing somewhat.
Yeah. And the turbulence, it's you know, this looks pretty similar. The 25%, we might still have more turbulence than the 15K baseline condition. The 18K, we see a kind of a redistribution of the turbulence, but it looks like a reduction. It's too hard to tell from those images. But I mean, I think the moral of the story is we're probably getting closer to where we want to be.
So is there a way you could demonstrate that, not today, but somewhere in the future, where you overlay the 2, the 25, and the 50 over the baseline and look at divergence from base?
Like a difference?
Yeah, so you're looking just at the differences, plus or minus. You can use
we could figure
red
out.
For minus and red for plus, or you know, hot or warm, or something like that, called colors, just to give folks a really good idea of what the differences are between the two.
Okay.
I don't know. Visual,
you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, visual.
Form. Yeah, a better visual looking at the differences.
It's funny, Gary. We're thinking like this. Like, if you just look at the deltas between that and make it easier, because then you would see what's wrong.
You see what this, how it, which direction it winds and how far.
The other thing to keep in mind is I don't know that the model converges on a single solution. I think there's an unsteadiness. Although we're running the steady state model, it's a dynamic condition within the gate wall. I think. This is at one iteration. You know, this is at a certain number of iterations.
This is model. This is all model.
This is all model. And so as we run it, stop it at different iterations, we might get a little different solution. So
just
keep that in mind. It's not kind of an absolute condition. I think you'll see what we've seen in the past is some, you know, these things will flip sides and want, you know, there's some inherent dynamics in the gate wall that
you'll have to do that time over time.
Yeah, and I plan to do that to get a better feel of, you know, what the range of.
I was thinking field data, so that's what I'm more interested in.
Field data, this recent data that we've collected, it's not very polished. We got some preliminary data, and these are pretty rough plots, but I think there is some value here. So this is our baseline 15K velocity, through velocity, kind of similar to property. The lower section are sort of an indication of turbulence. With when they collect data, they collect several hundred points at one location. And then
vector.
Yeah. And then this is a standard deviation of the velocity there. So it sort of indicates how much variability do you have in the velocity that's collected there, and we're using it to kind of interpolate it as turbulence, an indication of turbulence.
Is it vector and velocity, or
no?
Not that change.
That's a good question.
Change of magnitude.
We have it on each vector. This one is the total magnitude. So I think this is just the
just
magnitude.
Velocity.
Yeah. And so what you can see is if you're looking at, if you're saying this is velocity, then this is sort of an indication of turbulence. At 15K, the 18K baseline, like we've seen with other data. The hot spots, you're aware here, we probably get more turbulence within the gate well. This is our plate, 50% blockage is installed, 18K. Really promising, I think, that we see the velocities start to approach the 15K condition. Hot spots are definitely reduced. And I think we even see a reduction in turbulence in Galo. So, sort of another piece, you know, the CFD model is one tool. This is another really valuable piece of information to help us evaluate these. I think they're showing similar results for this place.
What is the top versus the bottom?
The top versus the bottom? This is velocity.
Okay.
And this is more of an indication of turbulence.
Sure, the variation.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And this is the velocity only through this.
So you're quantifying differences here, absolute values.
These aren't differences. These are just straight up measurements. And so, like, if you look here and you say, you know, if this says,
absolute.
Yeah, one, that indicates 1 foot per second of velocity through the screen, or 7.5 inches off the screen. So.
That's interpreted what you said earlier.
Now, what you're missing is the 25%.
Yeah, and we don't have any field data on the 25%.
Okay, that's true. You just did the 50%.
Yeah. So, so this is kind of a summary of where we've gone with the CFD modeling, what we've pulled from our field data so far. And at this point, I think our recommendation would be to proceed forward into the DDR with flow control plate as sort of the primary method of controlling flow through the VBS. And then, you know, refine the design of that. You know, see, do we need it in all slots? I think we might get away with not doing it in, say, like the C slot, for example. Or B slot might be smaller than the A. But that's kind of design details that we can work out in DDR. But also, you know, look at supplemental improvements to things like modifying the upper panels on the VBS or even revisiting some sort of modified TRD to try to help the hydraulics a little bit within the gate well. But really, I just want to get a consensus that everybody agrees that a flow control plate is...
Right. Well, there's a couple things here. One is that we're going into next year with research, so we need something before then, so you have time between now and next spring to set up, to get... You don't know what you need right now. You need something less than 50 and more than 25. You've got to hone that down. We talked about potential refinements, and those refinements would be to the flow control device itself, or just to the gate well.
So to the flow control, like figuring out the exact, you know, length it needs to be.
Right.
And then other refinements would be stuff like potentially modifying the upper panels on the VBS.
But that's flow control. It's just a plate. It's what it is. And put a bunch of holes in it or shape it some different way or do any...
That's not the plan. We're open to those ideas, but I think just as simple as
just
we can
a simple
keep
plate.
It.
Yeah. Bolt in place, leave it there, and then your other thoughts would be to look at the VBS. I would suggest dumping the TRD.
Yeah, and that might be the case. I think...
That was an interesting concept, you know, as far as the expansion goes. I'll pass that away and discuss that with Corey. There might be a way that you can make something tapered and fixed to the STS, so you avoid all the crane picks.
I think
you're spending errors at that point.
Yeah, what we're envisioning is something that's not what we did last time, but maybe a taper that's built into the frame that's easy to for the operation, it might not bias anything.
How are you going to determine that it won't be necessary in AC?
What was that?
How are you going to determine if it's not necessary in AC?
Oh, so I've done some plots. Like, if we've got a design flow that we're trying to meet, the bay A 15K, you know, the 245, whatever the model predicted.
Right.
And if the flow in C at 18K without a plate is below that, I would assume that we're okay. You know, the hydraulic conditions in there should be better than.
Biologically, which one did we test?
We've been testing in A, in the A slot. 2001, we tested in the B slot. And the units back then were running in automatic governor controls, low flow year. The high-end condition that we were able to achieve with Fry in the B slot was 15.8K through the unit. And everything turned out okay. And so we continued some biological evaluation and needed 17. A couple of years later, and in 2008, 2009, we tested in the A slot, and we saw the large mortality, especially in Spring Creek fish. We continued testing in 2013 in the A slot. And a lot of the CFD work that's been done, and what's observable from the deck, the powerhouse, is it doesn't look like the A slot is, you know, as turbulent as the C slot. So the question begs the question, do we need to really do anything in the C slot? And we've had a lot of discussion about, you know, flow control in a C slot or an A slot or any of the slots may lead to a reduction in FGE. And part of the reason the TRD rose to the top in the alternatives evaluation was because of the biological consequences of some of the other alternatives and the hit that we may take to FGE. So, from my perspective, I want to preserve as much guidance as possible. And if we don't need to treat a sea slot, I don't want to do that.
We've also got some field data from this most recent round of collection in the sea slot, so that will be another way we can get a sense of what's happening in there.
So what's the field data for the sea slot?
That's a good question. I haven't evaluated it yet. We just got a preliminary data last week. So
do we have some sea slot images that we can show on paper that we could?
I don't think I have a good process.
But we will.
Did you test without the screens in?
Without the STS system.
But that was CFD model.
We modeled it.
Right.
Not test. I don't remember that battle.
No, but what the model said.
The model showed a big reduction in flow up the gate well, which you would expect. It also showed some kind of bad hydraulic conditions getting created. When you take the turning main out, the water tends to hit up against the gate well beam and then go up the VBS like you'd expect. But on the upstream side of the gate well, then you start getting the recirculation zone. So you get water flying up one side and then sort of recirculating on the other side. With the turning vane helps distribute that flow a little bit better through the entire gate well cross section.
Could you just put the turning vane in the model?
Yeah.
You know, if you separate it out and just add a turning vane.
Yeah. My sense was that taking the STS out was probably too much of a hit on FGE, but
yeah. I would say so. We're not ready to go down that road.
Is Russ on the phone?
Russ is. Don't start that. If he goes down that path, I've heard it once already.
I remember the conversation.
I heard it three or four times at the last meeting.
It's pretty vocal.
I just see what David wanted to know, actually.
I think Seth and the team's done a great job of working with what we've got to get us to where we are. And I think what we're looking for is basically the concurrence on your part to further investigate the alternative that I think is the alternative of choice. I think we agree that it's flow control that ultimately is going to get us to where we need to go. And I think that we've found an alternative that's going to get us there, provided, of course, that we modify and adjust it through the model, of course, and then field test it next year. I think that's what we're looking for, support from your, you know, concurrence on your part to do that.
Yeah, I think I'd personally like to see, Seth, can you get us these data and also maybe take a look at them, do a comparison, a direct comparison of that's the CP and the CFD. So also maybe the field data. Although it looked pretty apparent looking at this that there was a big difference.
We can get you all the information.
Yeah, I'm just kind of sitting down and stare at that a little bit on the stool.
Yeah.
We got to point out, however, that the data that we were looking at here, I think still needs to be refined. I think that Seth was looking at just information and data that was provided to us somewhat raw. So we, you know, we can clean that up and get that to you.
Yeah, the field data will be cleaned up a lot of the report from the consultant.
But that's going to be a while since there's data yet to come in, so
that's true.
You guys need to make a decision now.
They're submitting. They're cleaning up the data, creating the figures. They're gonna have a intermittent final data submittal.
Okay.
That should be coming soon.
Any idea when's that?
It's this week.
This week?
Yeah.
So, Gary, folks, we can get that information that they've cleaned up data to you by next week's event.
And that's so our view of a draft report. Is that what you're saying? Any provider or
for the data collection, the draft report part won't be used for a couple of months. But we're planning on having our draft report on the revisiting the alternative analysis soon, like within the next month. And all the CFD models that we'll be documenting that as well too. All the years.
So George, you need a decision to move forward with the test next year. We're not sure what the test is exactly, but it's
We're looking for concurrence to further refine what we've got. You know, what we've got out there now is a flow control device of sorts, and it's got to be stated up front that the flow control device that we've got out there now was oversized. We just want to see, is this going to make an impact? Are we going to see something here?
The 50%.
Yes, this big hunk of metal that we've got out there, and in fact, we can refine that. What we're looking for is concurrence to do that. Process.
So what this looks like then for next year, you'd be between now and then, you'd be looking at the data you have, trying to determine somehow how to size that flow control panel to give approximately the same flow. What was it, 245? Mm-hmm. Get to 245, and then test that in the field next year in A slot, B slot, C slot, well, A and C. You gotta look at it. It won't be in the C slot, you'd be looking at C slot by itself.
Yeah, you know, it would be fixed in the gate wall. So if you get an A slot, like a 15A to a 14A comparison.
Right. All right, then you're gonna be looking at C slot to make a decision on whether or not C slot
needs
a blockage device.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated with a biological test. The trash rack release mechanism and the numbers of fish and the statistics.
More fish. Should be more complex, though. I mean,
well, we'd have to somehow time moving trash racks around so we could put fish in a C slot. So what do you? So
with the, the tubes, the release tubes.
Yeah, from the deck.
Okay.
So.
But you don't need one. We need to do two. Just one C slot.
Right.
Correct. Yes.
If you're just checking.
We could do a baseline C slot to see if we get acceptable mortality.
Yep.
But where we're at now is we're already investigating constructing another trash rack release mechanism because we have to have them in the field side by side at the same time while we do the evaluation. We can't swap back and forth. It's just
so what you're saying basically is let's make a decision today on the path forward for one concept.
What we should refine.
And this looks like a simple, simple concept. I mean, I kind of like the DBS idea too, but if we need a general or a sectional model to do that, that's gets more expensive and it puts us a year or two further down the path. So it's a pretty obvious decision to me.
And then have you taken a look at your field data compared to your CFD data to see how they're showing up?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the biggest issue. Yeah. So there's always some concerns with CFD models.
Yeah, there'll be differences.
And there always are. I'm just like, how significant are the differences? Are we seeing?
The key there is going to be, I think, using your CFD data to size this thing.
Yeah.
Because you've overdone a little bit here, so how far back do you need to go? And you've got CFD, but how much do you believe in?
Well, and I think what makes sense is that the flow that we're designing to is from CFD.
Right.
We're using evaluate our alternatives from CFD. So that's a direct comparison. It might not be what you actually see in the field, but at least we're using relative comparisons.
I'm saying, if you look at the field data looks more excessive or more extreme than the CFD, then you might want to be more conservative with your CFD. Like if you say 25% more, 32.5% looks great in CFD, but you look at the field data, it's like the field data seem to be more, have more turbulence, then you might want to upsize
more conservative.
Because, dear God, we do not want to go down, put in something and go, oh, it wasn't good enough.
Right.
No, I would say that you're delayed.
I think this is the time where you go, you throw a factor of safety and say, let's make it here.
So what is the hit to FGE, John? What's the hit to FGE between 25% play and 50% play?
I mean, there's no way to know that without a
guidance.
It is such a mess. I mean, we pulled springs out and did good guidance. And we go, whoa, where'd that come from?
Do we see a relationship? Because we had sort of this condition in the gate well before we would put the modifications in there. We didn't have the official in there. And we did the modifications, we put more flow up the spot, and all of a sudden see an increase in FGE. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some kind of relationship with the percent of fish going through being guided and flow, right? And so if we reduce that flow by X amount and kind of draw a line on where you think that...
I don't know that it works that way.
I don't think it works that way.
It does in a broad sense.
Yeah.
To be able to, piece, to chop that up.
I mean, you would have some guess, right? I mean,
what do you guess, John? There's,
my guess is that, I mean, this is based on our guidance work. And the guidance work included, you know, the tie is in place. You know, we guided better into B slots in some of the tests. You know, A slots received more flow. You know, I kind of wonder if we guide that well at the high end.
Anyways,
you look at our JSATs data. Look at what the FG is on that JSATs.
Yeah,
those are high flow years. Just powerhouse cranking. So it's all over the shop. It's hard to say.
It's not relative. It's not
predictive. So what I'm mainly wondering is, given you're predicting a 15% hit with the gap closure device, right? I mean, that's basically what you said earlier, about a 15%.
12, 13, 14. I mean,
are we seeing a similar hit by putting a 50% reduction plate in there? Or are we seeing much less than that in terms of FGE?
You know, an unknown is how much velocity is changing over the top of the screen through the little gap with the gap closure device in place. You know, what we know from the gap net catch guidance work that was done years ago, the Didson cameras that they put in there, is that's how they came at that, you know, 12, 13, 14% through the gap. So if we take that out, they're going to go through the gap. What happens when you constrict flow of the gate well and that's going across the SCTS? Is that significant? Is that, you know, 100 CFS reduction significant? I don't know. And what happens to fish, you know, in that hydraulic change, I'm not sure.
Have you figured out what the stagnation point's going to be in the screen? With the plate, with the plate out, how much flow that's going to hold down?
I think we have that, do we?
Yes.
That would be another way of looking at potential guidance differences. Yeah. So that is important to look at.
You know, maybe some of those cross sections, you know, might shed a little bit of light on that.
Yeah. Zero velocity. So we can only use the ones.
Looks like it's a pretty similar location. Location.
It didn't change much.
No,
it's pretty slight.
And the question is,
how does the plate, and what is the motion without the plate, and where is that?
Yeah, it's a plate
without there. Does it change? And does it see it?
Yeah.
So that's why you went to see the
if you believe the CFD is accurately able to determine what stagnation point is, the stagnation point determines the higher up the screen is, the better for guidance. Yeah. The lower on the screen is, the worse your guidance. So less flow, it's going to be farther down the screen. How much?
So you, in order to observe a difference, you'd have to expect a change.
Yeah, or actually go out and visually measure it. Or have a physical model. And we pretty much can't do
that, or that's not the issue.
Yeah. If it doesn't move. But then if it doesn't move, then your hydraulic key should not change the guidance. But it will move.
Velocity will probably.
Yeah.
So that's an average.
That's CFD's bad. But CFD has problems.
Yeah, that's showing right through the center of the bay. It may change on the screen as you know.
Have you compared the CFD work with the work that was done in the models down Earth? With the first, I mean, there's been a ton of work done.
Yeah,
Yeah, so the physical model, that was what was used to calibrate the CFD model originally. We saw some issues with that. I mean, like the hot spots didn't show up, for example. And so we've gotten away from that data and used like the surrounding line one field data.
But we don't have field data on this tag issue.
So. Oh, yeah, right.
But I'll throw my two cents in. I think you're on the right path. It sounds like we're going to be taking a slight stab in some dim lighting on what it's going to find to be.
Yeah, given the alternatives that we've looked at, though, it just seems like this is the one that is floated to the top. And I just want to make sure that you guys don't think we've missed anything and that we're kind of heading down the right path.
Well, if we want to do something next year, this is kind of the option.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only other thing would have been to go after the DBS and there's a restriction here, but
do you want to buy it that time?
No, I think so. Not now. I would have a couple of years ago when I first brought it up, but George took it down.
But I guess I say that enough.
The accomplishes go up.
That's right.
Now,
so do we have to search?
I want to get it done. Yeah, well, let's yes, concurrence on our well.
You can just go forward as it is, but we'll definitely want to take the we want to do some work in the data. I mean, this is a concursory thing, but I'm going to need to sit down with some better visual and look at this thing. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, we'll have a report on this and all the CFD analysis included in that.
Well, we're committed to full transparency. Whatever you guys want to look at.
We can schedule a special interview for this. You know, when your report's on, you know, in a month or two.
I mean, it really just comes down to things like, is there a big risk that after looking at the data, we might have to pivot a change? If you guys can waste some time from now and then with what you're going down now. If you feel pretty comfortable, you don't think things are going to change, then it's not that big an issue. We can wait till a more finalized data. If we think there is risk, we'll probably look at this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I just can't think of what alternative option would be, you know, what would be a different path, you know?
No, I think your path is probably okay, but I think your final design, like,
right, yeah.
That's where things are going to shape it. Exactly.
I think you're just asking to continue on. That's all you need to find out.
Yeah, we need to refine something enough to field test it, next, you know, as far as see if it works, and then further refinement would occur before full power on some location.
So when do you have to advertise a contract to do this work again?
To go back in the winter maintenance period and install another plate or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, that's tomorrow. I'm trying to figure out the decision.
Right, yeah,
tomorrow.
Well, you know, to your point, I think what we need to do is get the refined data that's coming. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a hell of a lot different than what we've got now. Model it, and then model it with the intent of making a refinement to the existing plate. Fabricate the plate, install the plate, and go back and do velocity measurements in addition to biologic testing in the spring. And at that point, come back and make the final refinement for certified specs before it comes in.
Is there any...
gentlemen, could you talk up, please? Speak louder.
They're in the next room, unfortunately. Is there any value to do the hydraulic testing this winter? And then the biological testing.
You're not going to get the hydraulic tests at the high flows. That's the problem between now and next spring.
So probably.
It's not going to really give you, unless you can figure out that you want to tail water, which is the problem. So I'm not sure you're going to get anything that really tells you that you're successful. I think what I see is using, I mean, for me, I'd like to have a good look at the field data with and without the plate, you know, at different flow levels to look at that yet, although I think probably, yeah. So that's getting past that, but we're going further than that. It's not just a little step.
Right.
This is going towards full powerhouse implementation, I hope, in a year.
That's
we got a year to do this
well,
work,
and then
another year, we need to start doing it. You know, I'd say in 15 we test, and 16 we start implementation. Whether you do every day well or not, is, you know, that's another question, is which, is every unit we do every unit, we do every gate well. The C slots, especially, are an issue on the C slots. So, how do you do it stepwise? Do you do it on 1 year? Or is it going to take you 2 or 3 years to get all this done? And they're pretty simple. So, it's not a lot.
You're speaking of concerns that we're aware of, and that is there's a horizon that we're definitely looking at.
Yeah.
This thing has to shut down.
Yeah, I mean, we need to move on. We need to resolve this issue. So that's one side of it, but I want to make sure that we're smart as we step through. So getting those data out for folks to just take a look at, I think, for looking at how we go into that next step. Yes, let's go to the next step with the plate, yes. But there's all the details along with that that I'm still really looking to see about. Definitely want to look at this. I would suggest another. This meeting we're looking at, it's still pretty cursory. Mm-hmm. I feel that I would like to have a more spend some more time on this if it goes sometime.
Next we should be scheduled some time,
whatever it's October, October.
October workshop type of environment to do this.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. It doesn't have to be a fun meeting or something like that.
Yeah. I need it maybe real quick.
But really, all the data, once you've got all the data, you've got the front of the refined runs, and that's a chance to actually, we've been waiting to see this, so haven't really seen much. We know we're going with plate, but you know, what are all the details around that? And now we've got some of that stuff, so it's time to sit back and review it a bit, and then I'd take it together again and have a detailed discussion about how we move forward. But you're on the right path.
Is that any concerns?
That sounds
great. Yeah. Very good. So just a quick job, just to recap of what we think we're agreeing to.
We're going to continue to look at the modeling and collect more field data, continue to analyze, refine this flow control fleet concept, and when we get more data and the team can reconvene, hopefully September. The rest of August is so busy, and we're going to try to get together and have more of a workshop, FGE specific meeting to sit down and work through some of the latest refined, updated CFD. And
I want to field really data. Talk about how we combine the CFD and the field observation data to get to that next step.
The prototype design. We'll collaborate on all that before that gets implemented. Make sure we're.
The reality is, we've got fish in the river next year. We're going to be testing, so we've got to have something.
Yeah. So, do you have money set aside for this in SCT, or are you going to have to increase that budget?
I think we're squared away with our projected budget. The only caveat that I've got is I'm not quite sure what it's going to cost. We think we know what it's going to cost for the biologic testing and velocity measurements.
Well,
if you need support for us to move forward in that part, we've got to have the money.
Right. Okay. So if I could come back to you and say, I think we're good, but if the caveat that say maybe 6 weeks or not the next, so we'll plus that by an additional 100K or whatever it is.
Yeah. But let Randy know that our next SCT is September 4th.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think we're still going through the proposal process and some review for the proposal on this, so there's comments to come in. And
I would love to put fish in a C slot, this next year. I just don't know how to make it work with available trash racks. I don't know what they have sitting on deck. Could potentially modify.
It's not ideal. You could get your testing side by side done, and then when that's completed, move over and do some testing to see.
Rather the river fish.
It's not ideal. I would prefer not to.
Run of the river fish is interesting, looking at the 2008-2009 data. When we tested the mid-range versus the upper end, our mortality differences were, at the mid-range, they're very low, down 1% or less versus, 2 to 4, 5%. In the sea slot, I guess if we didn't see, we saw low mortality in the sea slot, with run of the river fish, we'd be able to say, carry those results to sockeye?
That's the worst case scenario. That'd be the worst option possible.
The worst case, just been spring.
Yeah.
Spring Creek fish have shown the largest signature.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Yes.
And so testing these things with Spring Creek fish makes me wonder if we need to go to the river at all. That's something I want to talk about.
I really
could save some money in terms of replicates and leases and time.
I do like the data we get back, the descaling data we got back from the run of the river testing, you know, especially near Lake Chinook. 2009, the descaling differences were much, much greater than the mortality.
Right.
We're looking at 1% versus at the mid-range versus 11.5. That's not high end.
For descaling.
For descaling.
Yeah, I only saw Spring Creek. You know, Spring Creek mortalities were huge.
Yes.
Yeah, 25% versus.
Yeah, they're 30%. You know, early in the season,
yeah.
And it's, as they grow, they do a little bit better.
I just don't know if we can use them as the canary in the mine shaft to say, yeah, we're if they're good, then the run of river fish are good or not either. But
right.
I also hate to kill run of river fish in the process of doing these tests.
I think with the TRD, it was pretty evident that the change that we saw in mortality wasn't significant enough to, you know, consider moving on with run of river.
Right.
Hopefully,
right.
Our results are better with this plate. And
yeah, I don't know if we can save any money because it may be one of those things you have to wait until you see the results before you can make the decision and then you want to commit it yourself. But you might be able to shift the sea slot or do some other with that.
That's possible.
You know,
yeah. We can work that through as sort of
the need. Just shifting things around.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need sea slot to make a decision. I mean, it's going to be hard not to.
So I said you got to do
something. Unless the hydraulics are so plain and obvious that we're not
going to be with it without the jump difference.
What you do the next year and see and hope that you, you can always put the plates in down the road. That's not like.
Could do that.
You know, you could do it the second year, right? Like that.
What does a plate cost per slot?
Talking hundreds of thousands?
No. It's relatively speaking, it's an expensive $75,000 with installation.
First of all,
quite reasonable. And if we're looking at the entire bar house, if we've got enough time to complete this, it's a modestly priced alternative. We were talking about millions and millions of dollars before, it's substantially lower.
Yeah, they could be split out of the rivers too.
Yeah.
Based on the fish basket, the other fish basket, the distribution powerhouse, desired distribution transfers.
I think this alternative provides us it gives us a little bit of breathing room. We can fabricate the plates and install them as we need. Anyway, that's the idea. That's the idea. So, are we good?
We're good.
Okay,
more questions?
Thomas.
There might be a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
John Day. John Day Pumps is going to be a little more issue.
John Day Pumps, there's one.
Next agenda item is for the Lamprey Passage Project, so we'll kick it over to Sean here. Leave that off.
Sure. I do have this update.
Yeah.
So the first one on here is really more just a quick update. I think most of you are aware of the entrained Bonneville, Washington, entrained air problem that we have with the Lamprey flume system at Bonneville, Washington Shore. Something that was noticed the first time we turned it on last year. Some very minor modifications were done last fall when we were dealing with the structural repairs. That is, they removed some gaskets to let some of the air escape from the flume and get out of it so that it wasn't concentrated at the entrance at the NDE. Some additional modification was done this summer. That is putting a small vent on top of the at kind of the upper end of the flume where there was an existing access hatch, and it was pretty apparent after that modification was done that it was kind of a pea shooter approach when we needed more of a kind of a bazooka approach to venting air from the system. And so the update is really on, for those who are here on the current schedule there, that we had a brief internal meeting with Natalie Richards, Gail Saldana, who's the PM for the LPS development team. Seth was there and a couple others, I believe. And we talked about the problem. So Steve Schlenker explained what was going on. We have some plunging flow in the water supply pipe that's pulling in air from the existing vent. So the venting part of the design wasn't adequate. So Brent and Steve are going to work on a fix that will be integrated into the LPS development project, which I'll be talking about in a few minutes. But basically in the winter of, let's see, winter of 20, it should be 16-17, it's not, we would plan to be actually doing installation of a fix to the system. So that would be the next winter that the Washington Shore ladder would be out of service. So we'd just piggyback on the LPS project.
That's why our powerhouse out there.
I don't know. I'd like
to, Sean, I missed how many winters out you're talking about.
Two, because that ladder's coming going down for service this winter, and then Bradford the following. So it'd be the winter of 16-17.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's just not enough time to come up with the fix and put a contract together, et cetera, for this winter.
Which way?
Plus, it's not a plan.
Which way are they going for the fix? Are they looking at salt plunging flow, or are they looking at just...
Yeah, well, one of the concepts I know that Brent and Steve were working on is actually getting into the water supply pipe and putting in, sliding in, essentially baffles.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things that they're exploring. It's kind of conceptual at this point. So as the design, you know, gets a little traction, I'll be sure to get your guys' input.
How many years do we plan to test this?
We'll probably still be testing it through, I'd imagine, through 2018, given these bumps that we.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. We don't have any studies planned for next year because of funding constraints. The next year that we'd be able to do kind of an evaluation other than counting the number of fish that come out at the end of it will be 16-17. So
do we have a what success looks like?
No, there was never a number that was put. Yeah. There was never a number that was put to measuring success on it.
That's the first thing you need to do is just get to the capacity, get the thing up to capacity so you have a decent flow.
Right.
We test this bubble issue. Yeah. We can test it. It might take a couple of years to do that.
I mean, given that, I know we had this conversation before, but given that this prototype, this approach hasn't been tried anywhere, I don't know how you come up with a number, the number of fish that you hope to guide into this versus go into the NDE. I mean, you could throw an arbitrary number out there, 50%, 40%, et cetera.
But I mean, if we're still in the tens of fish, maybe into the 100, is it really, you know, how much time and effort do you put
worth fixing, yeah. Yeah, I think that question is going to really come into play in the LPS development project because as part of the scope of that project, we'd be looking at routing this up to the forebay and more importantly, adding some ramps in other locations based on what we've seen at Cascades Island and John Day North. So in terms of your priorities and looking at the budget for the whole program, that's where some of those decisions are going to have to come in. Yeah, there's it, what's weird is we'll see, you know, early in the season we'll get a big rush of use, and then it dropped off. Then we had operational problems, like we were running it, as I mentioned before, for at like 25% for a month or so. Which means there was no attraction flow, essentially.
Hiccups. That's a good thing. There's hiccups in the operation right now that get past.
Yep.
You mean over the hiccups?
You mean a snafu or two?
A snafu or two without the hiccups, yeah.
Fubar?
I think there was, actually.
There might have been
Fubar. That is Fubar, yeah.
He's a little cute wampus.
Any questions, comments? Something I forgot to mention too is we talked about, I know, Didson, using Didson, we have an I-beam at the lower entrance to the flume to get a better sense of the entrained air issue and kind of recirculation that's going on there. Because we suspect that one of the issues in terms of attraction to this is that at the lower tailwater elevations, we might not have the same concerns. It may be a higher tailwater performs better, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the best is to get rid of the air, obviously, problems, you know, but in the meantime, just, we talked about getting a look at what the pumps are doing as they come out of that entrance area.
And they actually, as part of the design for this, and I haven't cracked the report open since, but there was a, we did a CFD study to, so we, I know that area is modeled, so we should be able to take a good look at what's going on.
Yeah, you need to model air bones.
Well, no, I'm talking about the other side of this equation, which is the attraction question.
And we considered turning it off for a couple of years until we were able to modify it.
Yeah, so Washington Electric Task Group, that we suggest that might would be awesome.
But if we think we're having the bubble curd that's not working as blocking salmon, shouldn't we consider?
Then that's the other way to look at it. Let's go take a look.
We also have the salmon telemetry study this year, too.
Because I'm getting pushback from my guys going, why the hell are you blocking a few bubbles? Is that really the biggest concern? So I'm having to talk my staff down from not going over and beating everybody about the heads. Yeah. So I would say let's look at it. Let's try to find a medium path that we can all live with. I think wildly going from extremes is probably not going to work well either way. So I'm just saying that's the other thing that I was told to come here was like, hey, can we get a look at the adults? Are we seeing adults impacts? If we're not seeing salmon impacts, people might be going like, well, geez, especially here in the spring, why don't we look at doing 2-day blocks like 80% versus 50%?
Yeah.
And if it's a front, to really be able to test more aggressively is it how this thing is.
And I'll mention too, even though we're not planning a study next year, we do plan to operate it and do kind of trap and call from that system next year. So we will still
not
have
only will I require you to show up at a minimum.
And we have a lot of control over the flow setting, so we could actually still do a test.
That's why I'm trying to talk right now.
They can talk to me if they want to, but I'm not going to go above 50% at this point. The only way to do that, that's what I'm saying, the only way to get me to think differently about this is to get a better idea what those bubbles are doing. And what I'm looking at is down on the front of the deck, and it looks bad, but I don't know what it looks like underwater. Give me a good idea of how those bubbles are rising and what that clear area of flow looks like at something above 50%. And maybe we can go to 60%.
Can your ROV sit in that position? Can you fasten it in there, turn it off, fasten it in, and then take a video? What's the best way to get it?
Well, I'm thinking that I'm looking at the engineers. Right? There's got to be a way to calculate what those bubbles are doing. I don't know. Maybe not.
If you know where they're coming from.
You know how big they are. That's the problem.
And they're all the same size.
When they coalesce in the larger ones.
And also the field conditions there aren't exactly stable.
I'm just saying though.
I don't know.
Yep.
We can get a better idea because they're obviously rising and quickly. So
they're
defining
gravity. Be cool bubbles.
There's got to be something different going on under the surface than what we're seeing above. So
Right.
Can you stick a GoPro in there and a stick or something?
Right.
That I-beam is actually an ideal location for looking at, you know, whatever.
There's a way to look at that. The other thing is, like, if it all starts small and they don't get big to the surface, that's a different concern. But it's
pretty fizzy.
I mean, they're not big bubbles. They're small bubbles, but I don't know if they're changing as they go up.
Hey, guys, I'm having a pretty hard time hearing Gary talk, or and basically anybody but Sean. So I was hoping you could maybe try to get closer to a mic.
Yeah. Nathan?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Talking about the size of bubbles.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem with this room is there's only one microphone.
Yeah. We're talking about tiny bubbles.
You wouldn't need a room with one microphone for such an important meeting.
I know.
Should have drummed out.
Yeah.
Is that important?
So there are some of these things we can do before 2 years out when we make a change. Because I've been concerned with the, you know, is it blocking passage? Do you really want to run the structure for tens of fish and you're having hundreds of thousands go by?
Salmon. We've got to be cautious, but I want to be reasonable too. I mean, if there's... We're trying to maintain an open area, clear water, and with 50% we do that. As you go above it, it starts to get into that area. You know, then you start worrying about what you're doing is looking at the surface, and that's all you're seeing.
Right.
So.
And by the way, Ida called me, I think yesterday or the day before, and I'm going to be going out there tomorrow to look at it again because tailwater dropped, so the conditions change.
I'll be out there Friday.
Better or for the worse.
For the worse. So we might have to turn it down during
worse,
the day.
Yeah. I'll look at it on Friday.
So is that outcome right there maybe an indication of what's going on with the bubbles? Ultimately, what depth?
It got worse.
Well, I mean, if Critfic is going to
have a relationship there,
be yelling and saying, hey, no. Proof that's a problem.
So if your surface elevation is
you guys would like
lower,
to see it higher,
it will change the appearance of the surface
That's
my intention.
Well, the bubbles they can only be emanating from basically like three locations: the lower entrance of the flume, the upper entrance of the flume, and then there's a kind of a thimble piece that goes through the wall to the upper entrance. And so, depending on how much of the air is coming out the upper entrance or the lower entrance, and the angle of that, and then the depth of those entrances to the surface, right?
So the pressure's going to change.
I don't know if there's anything diagnostic that we can get.
The next meeting that we have, if we have another meeting for 30 minutes, maybe this is the last one ever, but if there is another one, it might not be a bad idea to have Schlenker and some diagrams of the entrance area just to so folks can get an idea, and maybe have Steve here to talk a little bit through the possible design changes.
Yeah, and it might actually be Sean Askelson.
Or Sean, whichever.
And then in terms of observational data of this underwater, we don't have, as far as we're hearing, we don't have much yet. And so we talked about, you know, cameras, or we talked about acoustic cameras or other things that we can use as well.
We have a Ditson, and I've talked with Caudill about making observations, which he's interested as well, again, from the attraction standpoint.
Yeah.
So.
I guess at some point what I'd be interested in is quantifying, you know, the amount of area of the entrance that's occluded by bubbles versus the area that's clear. I mean, we can start to look at that and get...
Under the range of conditions that are under the range of tail races and stuff that we experience.
And we can start to maybe put together some sort of path forward for the next couple of years until it's resolved.
I'm keeping excited. I looked at what they proposed to do. Are they doing a fairly fine, detailed entrance review of adult basically migration behavior around the entrance?
I think they have the same array that they've always had, which would be you have the antenna right there at the entrance, and you have one at like 30 feet, 40 feet upstream or something like that.
So you get approach time and passage into the entrance.
that's the usual, no higher resolution.
Well, with bed tags and the fish and stuff as well, you get through the detectors, right? Yeah,
I think that's going to help you with the entrance.
We're talking about adult salmon.
The adults into the
behavior at that entrance.
If this is really custom brought for bubbles, and hard on the lane, it never gets a
bit. No, but I mean, you got the radio tag array as well as you got the tag the fish one. It's your first clip.
But they never get there. That's the problem. I mean, we're talking about entrance. If fish don't make it into the entrance, they reject that entrance and go somewhere else, there'd be a delay. You know, R2 is the only thing we have that's going to tell us that.
How long? You'd be able to compare to the past data sets that we have.
Yeah.
When's the plume get shut off?
When's the end of the year?
October. So end of September, early October.
Is there any value in shutting it off in September for the peak of the Chinook passage? I mean, is it enough of a concern?
The only thing is, though, with this evaluation that's going on right now, is supposed to help answer. It's not the best analysis. I mean, I would much prefer a more detailed look at it. We will get some look at it. I mean, obviously, they'll have an antenna downstream some. So they detect some there, but not inside. They need to see those fish for whatever reason.
And I'll tell you, if they are somewhere else, you know how long.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at our largest return ever.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the dolls, actually.
But it's going to be way more fish.
I mean, you've got a million and a half fish pounding at the door. And anything would be bad to have any negative. I mean, we normally wouldn't be worried about this because it's a pretty good open area, 50%, but we may have to.
Well, this is one entrance out of how many?
But something to consider. We're going to extremes.
It's one out of four at that powerhouse. At that powerhouse.
Sounds like a good study.
We don't have Chinook. We will have some steelhead, but steelhead will probably be very different.
Well, that's part of the reason we talked about tags.
I know. That's from both of those.
Tags. That's what I was saying. They're good. We're doing co.
That's a good point. You guys will be doing that's later, though. That'll be after the peak.
It's only 4 weeks.
Really?
But it's October, right?
Late September.
Late September. You're past the peak by a couple of weeks at that point. You guys start.
But it's another look.
It's data. Yep. Whether it's enough data to say that's
Sean, I have one more question. Your 16-17 install date, is that based on funding or scheduling?
Schedule, and there will be some sort of work on LPS.
Okay. So I was going to say there might be a need for additional projects if the Ice Harbor performance test doesn't occur in 15, which I'm hearing the possibility.
Yeah, we all get it.
So you think so?
No, I mean, they're not going to be able to.
Okay, yeah.
They're driven by when it's going to be out of service. Right. All the other work is
going. So I didn't know if there was a possibility to rush it forward another year.
It's your contract.
To get the air work done.
You might be able to do from a labor standpoint. You might be able to accelerate.
It'd just be one less you would have to worry about it. Yeah.
Well, that's the question. Can it depend on the solution?
Well, if the Ice Harbor test didn't happen, you'd have 9 million.
You could save that money and leave it forward.
You don't have
it. It doesn't have to be spent.
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, what if they did come up with a solution that was fairly easy to install? Like, say they said, hey, you know, put in this new sleeving system, I'll take care of the plunging flow. It's like a day or two to install. Would that be something we could do in 16 instead of waiting for the winter of 16?
Right.
Yeah,
you're going to mess with the winter maintenance schedule. I hope Bradford Island just crumbles to pieces.
I'm just saying, December 28th, you shut the ladder down to ladder flow for however long to install this. If that's something, if it turns out this is something
you can do that. I mean, yeah, Tom, we can talk about that.
That's what I'm saying. That is an option. Yeah, I'm not inviting you over for dinner.
As
Gary so eloquently said, it could be March after you don't.
So were you guys just talking about Bradford Ladder?
Not yet.
Or whispering about it.
We're just saying that if Sean Hackles or someone comes up with a brilliant idea and says, you know, this is actually a pretty easy fix, something we can do
in
a couple of days, is that something we can then weasel in 15, 16, that season?
Right.
And that, so. I didn't want to make that completely off the table.
Right.
Because I mean, if it's
if you got plunging flow in your network, it seems like you should be able to redesign that, I would think.
So we're going to be in Bradford Ladder basically November 10th through the 30th or something like that. So I wanted to make sure that's on people's radar.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We already went through the MOC coordination on that.
Oh, Tammy loves those, by the way. So yes, we are well aware of that. So yeah, no, it's just, I mean, this is like pie in the sky. It may come and say, no, this is going to be some crazy huge thing to get this
fixed.
Right.
Weeks or months or whatever, but.
Well,
it was a simple answer.
Seth's still sitting behind you. He's the TL on the
LPS
project,
in
by the way.
So.
we'll talk about whether that part of this could be accelerated.
Who's your stab at the next meeting?
Yeah,
Drew Holt.
The Washington Shore Water feature.
Yes.
Water and air check.
Yes.
We'll get a laser on it. Yeah.
Okay. Retired as a cool guy.
Yeah.
We'll put Ryan Lauer on it, but he's not allowed that on the project.
The next project is the minor fishway modifications. For Lamprey. And thank you to those who helped us figure out what to do with the Washington Shore diffuser lighting. We did come up with I hope folks saw the email that went out with the kind of final configuration that we came up with.
Did I understand how you're just going to do one side?
One side of the ladder, yep.
Because the plating showed both sides. You said one side, and then the plate showed on both.
The revised shouldn't.
I don't know if the one you said yesterday.
You just sent something out recently?
I might have sent two, the email I think might have had two attachments, one with the original and then one with the revised configuration.
I'm glad you guys are asking that.
Yeah, I haven't. I was out yesterday, so I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Because one had the rounded and had the small square on the downstream side.
Right.
Downstream side, so. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as I just want to make sure it makes sense, it's one size. So.
I'm trying to understand your question now.
Well,
are you talking about there's plating on either side of an orifice, or are you talking about up one side of
the
ladder?
The diagram showed plating on both sides, but then in the email you said you only get one side, so I was confused. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It is just one side.
It is just one side.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if the plate shows that you've got from the solid post, because that was no big deal. I just was like,
yes,
I saw the plate and I saw the email, I'm going, which is, I'm assuming the one-sided took precedence, so.
Yeah. So it's one side and a smaller overall footprint.
Yep.
And the other part of this, the planned winter modifications is installation. Scroll down a little bit to the end. Of caps, rounded caps on entrance weirs at Washington Shore. And that Brent Welton is the lead on that kind of mini project, and the plan is to have the Bonneville project folks actually fabricate those and install them. That design hasn't been finalized yet, and if you could scroll down a little bit farther, I know I've sent this out to folks before, so I don't want to beat this over the head, but one of the questions that we're looking at is whether we can get away with putting some amount of plating that would attach to the top of the crest here that would give some attachment surface over the guide slot itself. So that's one aspect of this that's kind of up in the air right now. But I'll be sure once Brent comes up with the final set of drawings to get reviewed, that I'll send it out to Bitterwick for input. This is one we're working, definitely working closely with the project on for levees. One again, that's so.
It must be done by the project about then.
Yep. So, that's. And then next year, so this fall, we'd be starting on design work for Bradford Island. which according to the scope and schedule may include serpentine weir modifications, so rounding corners and whatnot. One of the tasks, and I haven't checked in with him on this, that Sean Askelson had was to, look at the hydraulics, see what we can kind of get away with. There's also issues if you're grinding concrete, for example, especially at Bradford Island, we want to be cautious about exposing rebar, et cetera. So we're at the point now where we need to start looking at, we have kind of a list of options, but we need to kind of start narrowing that down as to what's feasible and appropriate.
If needed.
It's like cutting orifices, for example, similar to what Walla Walla has done, is one of the things that we can discuss.
And depending on available time, you're going to be able to prioritize what's the plan to ask which ones they would prioritize.
Yeah, well, okay. Partially depends on cost too, but thankfully, since Walla Walla has done some of these things, so should have.
No, I'm just thinking if you have a lot more ideas to make time or money for.
Right.
She doesn't want to protect them before.
Starting over with the whole control section.
Sean, how high is that rounding cap?
I think it's a 4-inch radius, so I think those weirs are like, 8 or 10 inches deep? Yeah.
Which weirs? Which?
They're the entrance weirs.
Washington Shore.
Washington Shore.
Washington Shore. Okay. You always hit bottom out on those things sometimes.
Yep.
Yep, so it would add.
So you take a third of a foot off.
It looks about 6 inches or so, I'm guessing.
Have you thought about putting on the face and the back, front and back side? Move the cap to the sides.
Move the cap to the sides.
Then you would
Yeah, we just. Yep. We had discussed that. This was kind of a simpler approach. Something I forgot to mention too was the downstream face plating.
Hey, who's your new employee? Who's this guy? On
dive. I mean, that's the only thing. We're losing half a foot of submergence on the gates.
Are folks concerned? You know, how much
is that? I just started. That's why I was asking. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Picture's worth a thousand words. I'd like to know how that affects the entrance hydraulics and
if it does.
Openings. We can't meet our minimum depths. That would be a problem, definitely. Maybe other ways to design this thing, not have that much.
Right. So if it towards the downstream side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What documents is in, Sean? Is this?
This drawing?
Yeah. What are we looking at here?
It's a that you sent out. Concept sketch that. I think I just have sent it out with an email so far. It's not, we don't have a design report for it.
Okay. I was just wondering if we coordinated on this already somewhere down the road that I don't remember, or?
Yes, to some degree. The last Fitterwig that I was at, I don't know, January or February, Scott Wilcox came and we floated this concept, I think the same basic sketch right here.
We didn't say anything. Asleep, maybe at time, or it was lamp break. It's like
you said that this is a brilliant idea. I think you remarked on how good looking we were all were. But
I was probably not asleep at the time.
But no, we've mentioned it before and shown the concept sketches.
Tammy, is there room in the pocket for that gate to slide down another 4 or 6 inches?
They bottom out.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always struggling.
We've talked about that.
Still,
there's concrete down there, and the gates flush out with the concrete.
And that
I'm not sure that it can go down more. If it can go down a couple, 3 inches, 4 inches, then that all recesses below the floor.
Yeah.
That doesn't affect anything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you did have a sill, but I don't know if you go.
Do you have original design chart?
The original.
Yeah.
Well, that's a question.
Actually, probably as-built is what you want.
That's a question back to Sean.
Again, this area is well known because of the Washington Shore Flume project. We have a lot of, I know Brent has all the drawings of the NDE in particular.
This is Bradford.
And photos. This is Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, so just check if the gate can go down a little bit more, then it's just the cables and
right.
Controllers.
I don't think they can, because otherwise I think that we would have lowered them so that we can meet criteria yeah. more often.
Yeah, right. You know, you've got a concrete bottom.
That's yeah. the limiting factor.
Yes.
That doesn't matter if the gate goes, you go past it, you're still bottomed out, bottom bridge.
Yeah, I think that's worth
yeah, it. But there's usually a pocket there in case you get some reaccumulated yeah. in there. And if the gate should be able to slide down below that seal.
Sill,
I should say, the sill. I don't know.
Yeah, the riggers might know. I don't know, or maybe TxDOT or somebody. I have to look at some engineer drawings.
I think Brent will know.
Okay.
I just thought I'd talk a little bit more.
Yeah, I know you would. I understand.
Great. Tap me more. Tap me.
Well, if there's a degree in there, maybe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Capability. Okay.
This has been a problem I have had that already been
because it's still a
factor.
Be a lot of
that's what he's asking. Is it
he's asking if that gate slides into a slot, the top of the gate sits below the surface of the fishway or not. If it does, then there's space for this to fit and not have an occlusion in the open area. But
right.
If it doesn't, then this is sticking above, there's a little bump above the...
Clearly,
we know that was trim off the gate. Trim the bottom off the gate.
I think it's just above, but I'll follow up.
But you can rip the top off.
Yeah, cut the top off.
Yeah, but it's there.
You're putting a cap on.
You're just get your file out there and grab that down, Sean.
I will say that it wouldn't be, I mean, obviously this is the shortest distance to have them trying to navigate, so if we put the slope on the downstream face, it's a longer distance that they have to travel. So. Using that kind of creeping burst and attach behavior. So ideally we'd like to keep it in that configuration, but if we're having a submergence issue, that's good.
Well, the thing is, you need to meet, this can't affect the criteria of the project, so if it does, then we have a problem. If it doesn't,
well, if you can make it, if it doesn't.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
I'm not arguing.
I'm being nice.
I recall there being a gap between the concrete beam and the gate.
So I know, but it's like...
And it's, you know, when we dewater in winter maintenance, I think there's a gap there and water sits between it. So it's a matter of the travel distance, potentially.
Yeah.
I think there's...
It's a little more effort than how it would be attached to the gate. LPS development.
So there's slots here, it's just like...
Right, this is attached to the gate.
So our next one is the LPS development and improvements project. And similar to in February, I think I just kind of gave an overview or kind of a heads up that the team was starting to come together. Well, that got delayed a little bit. And Seth is the TL on this project. And we're basically in the scoping phase right now, so we don't have any designs per se to review. I think at the last meeting I passed around and I don't know, did you ever get email access? No, here, okay. I passed around a kind of PowerPoint cartoon kind of aerial drawing, aerial photos of the project with just lines showing general general concept of routing. Where we're talking about putting new LPSs is based on the synthesis of all the adult memory passage data. So adding ramps in transition pools at Washington Shore and Bradford Island, the space or the section of ladder between the UMT junction and the Count Station at Washington Shore, et cetera. And then also making improvements to the existing systems so that, you know, say beyond 2018, that these systems, which were built experimentally, you know, through NOAA Fisheries and U of I, that we're not walking away and you know, we've got a bunch of exposed electrical, you know, and et cetera, plumbing that won't last, you know, more than 10 years. So, we, as I said, we're in the scoping phase right now. We've had a couple of site visits where we met with project staff and kind of identified some of the needs with the existing systems and discussed general routing. You know, how would you bring a flume up the Washington Shore ladder to avoid impacts to, you know, bulkheads, et cetera. The results of that site visit haven't really been kind of put to paper yet. I would look in the next, I think the plan is for the next couple of months is to really hit hard on nailing down design criteria in terms of the LPSs themselves, the hydraulics, biological criteria, based on what we know to date from the existing systems. You know, how often do you have to put rest boxes? And then working with the project on, you know, what do we need in terms of access? You know, platforms to these things so that we don't have inspection problems, and do a kind of preliminary workup of the routing for folks to review and discuss. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. I guess an interesting note is that Brent Welton, who's the mechanical on the team, is going to be kind of working up kind of a parts library, so that kind of taking a rector set approach to this to simplify the design, because we're talking about putting, you know, thousands of feet of this stuff in the ladder, so we want to make it as simple as possible.
Here, a key has got to be planned for that.
Yeah. A big part of this, too, as I've mentioned to the PDT, is, you know, everyone knows the library program's not especially huge in terms of the dollars we have at our disposal, so prioritization is going to be key. As we develop a sense of the scope, then we can develop cost estimates, and if it's, you know, $5 million to, you know, do one of the projects, that could, you know, sink everything. So we're going to be working with the tribes and folks in this room to kind of discuss, well, what makes sense with the limited dollars that we have.
Sean?
Yeah?
How many years past next fiscal year are still involved with the Accord spending for Lamprey?
18.
How many years? Yeah, through FY 18.
Through FY 18, so that would be 18, 19?
No.
Or I mean 17, 18?
Yes.
No?
Yeah, if you're looking at it.
Calendar year 18, 19.
Right. Construction okay. Period is 17, 18. Yeah, we can. Folks want is, I mean, again, all we have right now is conceptual
drawings and
routing. Yeah, I think most of the people here have seen like cartoon routing before. So installation would be based on kind of like when we were talking about the minor mods, you know, based on, you know, ladder outages. So Washington Shore, would be 16, 17, Bradford the following year, 17, 18. And then if we do John Day North, that would be also 17, 18, I believe. So what I was going to suggest, because there are going to be quite a few questions in terms of, you know, like where do we place ramps? I mentioned transition pools. We're going to have a discussion at some point about what's accessible or concerns that folks might have.
Orifices to the special.
So what I would suggest is during sometime this fall, as we're working up this kind of 30% DDR and filling in criteria, that we have a special fitter wig. I don't know if it needs to be a site visit or which might be helpful, or just a meeting in Portland and kind of go over some of the questions. For example, if you're expanding these systems, you're going to have to either add pumps or upsize the existing pumps, which could, you know, cause concerns about noise and that kind of thing. So
that's good.
You need to tackle those questions earlier rather than later. But I don't want to do that meeting until we have at least a sense of the routing and, you know, a concept sketch worked out for folks to look at. So I'll put that as a to-do for myself to schedule that.
Who's
next? Questions before we move on? I lost Gary.
Did you mention that we're in the firehouse?
No.
These updates we have up on the screen, we're going to be sending out as a package, or we'll have them and or have them on the Fitterwig website.
Yes.
So the
Brad wants to borrow a couple of minutes.
Sorry to crash your party.
That's okay. Yeah, Brad has an update.
Brad. Yeah, I was gonna call in to SRWG last week and was on leave. Just completely forgot. But,
so you chose wisely.
I did, yes.
You could have sat in some
rest
time for
the rest of the
time.
It's
still better about all our time. Yeah, okay, late. I'm not going to another one.
So the website is up, the JSATS website is up. I didn't bring any information, but I'll send an email out here in a few days. And so go to the site. You've got to register. Get a username, password. That'll take another. Maybe.
And pay how much?
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on that. If
tens
your check
of thousands, millions, whoever you are.
Make the check available to me.
If it's Russ, it's a million dollars.
So, yeah, so that, you know, that shouldn't take very long. You get a username, password, and then you can access the site.
Oh, because the SRWG is saying we had to get the password from you.
So yeah. Well, no. You make the request on the site.
Okay.
And then that request will go to UW, who's managing it, and then they will forward me who requested, and then I say give them access.
Yeah.
They didn't want the responsibility for making the call, which I understand. So I took it. So everyone in the room can have access.
See,
to
the call. I understand.
Yeah. It'll be cool. Nice. It's not working out for you so far.
Give him access, like 10 minutes.
So what years of JSAT data are on?
It's for stuff that is finalized. And so this year's data won't be available until it's finalized. I think up through, I think 12 right now is what's on there. I'm not sure. We didn't do anything in 13. But while I did, I'm not sure.
They did mowing grass.
Well, And as part of the registration, you've got to specify what it is you want access to, and what studies and things like that.
No general fishing expedition.
All the above.
Get a copy of your latest goals.
It's not a database that will run queries for you. It's access to the data. The data, you can download the data. You can download the software that John has developed to do the survival estimates and to filter the data and whatnot, and then you do the analysis yourself.
So is there like a user's manual attached to this?
There are manuals attached.
And don't worry when that software
starts. It does sound like there'll be
passwords on your visa list.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can get that past our administrator.
What password?
Well, we can't load anything on our computers.
Oh, yeah. I bought the software. I paid for it. I can't load it on my machine. I had to install it on my home computer.
So we have to do.
So everybody, your laptop. Is that not
the data are available, but you can't have it.
Yeah.
There's
the real core, and then there's the shadow
core. Hard drives, machines.
So I'll get an email with the information out.
Okay.
Here, thanks. When I get the chance. I've been successful so far today, and haven't looked at email yet.
Brad. With a specific example being that there's an issue that's come up with First Powerhouse, Bonneville information, looking at survival at two different river flows, at the low flow and high flow through Powerhouse. So a lot of units versus a small number of units. Is this something that I could just go to this database then and say, okay, this is a Mark Wilde type of question?
No, this is with the data that you can get, so say 2012,
right.
Bonneville. You can say, I want that data. What you will then get is you will get the tag information. So which fish were tagged. Yeah, you will get and things like fish condition.
But not very full.
Huh?
But not flow probably.
You should have time though. You can get that back. Yeah, you get time.
I'm trying, one time we talked about having, and I haven't looked at it in a long time. I think there is information in there on the conditions when they passed.
Yeah.
I think. We were going to try to integrate some of that. And then the detection. And then also each receiver's name. So that this receiver was detected at, on this hydrophone. This hydrophone covered this area. What it allows you to do is analyze it the way you want, but it's not gonna
like Powerhouse One, Survival.
Exactly. It's not that straightforward.
It's not gonna have that kind of GUI interface.
No.
That's next year.
Yeah. No.
No.
That's up to you.
That requires another password. Well, that I can figure out. I'm trying to can I get the data? Allows me to get those data that are to make that comparison.
Yes.
And the model I choose to.
And John's software does you can do single release, paired release,
and you can do the
triple release or the.
Well, I'd want to do a single release, and I want to compare the two. Yeah.
And you can select either one of those for the model. But the other thing that this software does is does the time tag life correction that's associated with these estimates.
So you shook your head no when I asked that question. It sounds like it's more like yes.
What question?
You went like this, and I'm like, okay,
I'll
do it.
He's just wobbling.
Yeah.
He's keeping his
options. It was a diagonal.
It's almost his lunchtime, right?
Whatever you want, Gary, huh? Thanks.
It's the shame. So there's obviously mean learning curve. If you haven't analyzed telemetry data before, it's in the same format that they use to analyze the data. Same data.
Well, I'd much rather ask you to just go do that for me and come back with the answer, but then you gotta say no, it's right there.
And that's why I was shaking my head. Couldn't we let a contract with somebody to do on the weekend?
Yeah, we all
happy to talk. Happy to talk.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yes.
So the next item on the agenda for an update is the Dow Dam East Ladder AWS backup system, and Pat Dyke is here to give a brief update on where we're at.
It's all good.
Exactly.
We're on track. It'll be done next year. No problem.
Well, we'll have a contract award next year. Yeah, definitely. So,
I'm never going to be able to retire.
That's our master plan.
No, I mean, you guys saw the DDR. George Medina led that effort, and I don't know, sometime in May we transitioned from George to myself, and I had to kick off the team to do the actual plant specs. We're about at a 30%. We pulled a 30% package just internally, just to see where we were with a few of our disciplines. The real big push, and really kind of why I'm here, is just to kind of gear you guys up for what my guess is going to be late November for this group, when we'll have enough data and details to really share with you guys some of the efforts. We are looking at the 90% somewhere probably end of January, 1st of February. And these dates are shifting around a little bit based on our team resourcing. But all of this will definitely get done. We're projecting probably in April, and we'll go to contract award or advertisement and definitely get award by the end of the FY, which is the main goal. A couple of things we're really looking at, obviously, velocity's been a big key. For installing the upstream cofferdam, the length that the cofferdam is going to be installed, all that's based on construction sequencing and the details and the durations of how to install some of those features. So, working with the team pretty heavily to minimize the efforts of dive time, installation, and so on and so forth. Our division office has a lot of dam safety concerns as we put a 10-foot, 11-foot hole through the dam. And we're sequencing it so that we have two levels of protection against pool through the whole duration. There is probably a chance where we can't maintain two levels for the full duration, but I'm projecting that at worst case, that's probably only about a four-week issue while we install the steel liner and grout it up and install the downstream valve to get our second level back up. For when we did Dorena Dam, I was the PM for that, and so we did basically the same thing. That last installation portion went, I think, basically in about 3 weeks. Not knowing exactly how much work we need to do on the upstream phase to excavate and put some steel reinforcement up there, so I kind of cut it in next week, basically as the worst case. But that's really what we're working on, is I'm really focused on the construction sequence. We have the cofferdam, as I said before, and we are in the process of getting some velocity data in the forebay. We would have liked to have got it out in August so we could take some measurements. For multiple reasons, that didn't come together with our contracting as quick as we would have liked. So we're looking at basically November, I think, now is our next opportunity to go take our first set of measurements. And that will really start to inform the design of that element, as well as what kind of issues, impacts we may have with that installed for multiple months, potentially. And then I think towards the end of the DDR, we did talk a little bit about air entraining into the outlet works. As the water comes through and into the existing AWS chamber, we had some holes that were basically out of the water that would plunge, and we are looking at moving those in. It's really kind of a minor detail, I think, we're addressing. I haven't seen the details yet of that element. We're focused, as I said, on the cofferdam and some other areas. Right now, hopefully by the October-November time frame, we'll have those details, a little bit more detailed, and you can visually see it, hopefully. A lot of the work as we transition from the Walla Walla team and into our district processes, they've been spending a lot of time getting the 3D models correct and to scale and just verified. So we have done some on-site field verification and measurements, and we're working on the models. So. My guess is by November we'll have some good visuals that we can kind of play with the model a little bit and get you guys some big photos or at least some renderings. But in a nutshell, I mean, we are progressing. The team is working full speed. I've been pushing them pretty hard, obviously, because everybody wants the details, and until I get the details, I can't share them. And I know that the coordination with you all and with our TMT teams and APA and folks, they're interested in those and want to see those sooner rather than later. So I'm cognizant of that, and you're trying to put that together
I think first blush, people that haven't been involved see a lot of issues with the hole and the process, but I'm fairly confident that this won't be too big an issue. Does have some risk. I mean, we are putting a lot of foothold, but it's not the first time.
You got to quit saying that. It's a small hole, it's a big deal.
It's less than 1%.
Do you have a Volkswagen through?
It's relatively speaking, though. It's tiny. Those turbine things are much bigger.
Is that where they go?
So I don't know. Is there any questions or any other concerns that I glossed over?
What we're going to be seeing then is a review of the 60% in November. That's an agency and tribal review. And then 90% in January, and then you're on the way.
Yeah, that might slip to February, but
in next year.
Definitely we'll provide an update in October if it's moving. I don't sense it will, but...
on September 15th, no matter what.
You want to retire? We're going to make that date if I got to...
15 is it.
Slave some people over time, but...
there you go.
Can we just tell Gary that it's been awarded?
What's that?
Let it go. Can't we just tell Gary?
Yeah, you can. You can do that.
I mean,
lose interest.
After all the studies that I've kind of gone through and the historic nature of Gary, you can appreciate it. I mean, it's pretty exciting to be where we're at. I'm excited to take
it. We've gotten so far. Worked on this one all the way through. It's been, two decades going on through?
Well, hopefully we don't hit the third, but
can we incorporate a wire flip? We're supposed to have a visual one.
Is there any other, concerns that you guys didn't get addressed in the DDR from fisheries?
From our perspective, no. I think the biggest thing was that air entrainment issue, and like you said, it's really not a big issue. And I think the riot kind of...
He had some ideas, and I think our team's probably going to build upon that and connect with, there is some construction challenges with, because there's some cross beams in there and whatnot.
It's tight.
I wouldn't mind just ripping out a whole section and we'll get there.
Okay.
And then if we get the budget double.
Do we have an idea of what the cost is going to be? Because I got asked that by the one lab, and I couldn't find it.
Velocity in... through the pipe or?
On the upstream side.
Okay, in trans velocities? Yeah. I know we haven't, I don't, but we can all work with John.
Yeah, Sean probably a little more familiar with that off the top of his head. He comes back and I can get him up.
So I got to ask that question. Okay. Well, is my break going to be a concern? Well, it could be, but this is theoretically only emergency only. Yes, because we should suck all the nitro we could down this. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly what we were going to do.
John, I'll try to get you that. To the group.
Great, thank you. Matt, did you send out the DDR? I'm not sure if I got it.
Did we send out the DDR?
What did you send out?
There are on this.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
You're talking about maybe the final, and you probably maybe saw 90% or something.
I may have seen nothing. Sometimes my name doesn't work. It's team fan.
Selectively excluded, huh, Scott?
Occasionally.
We should be able to get you a copy of it.
It's been a while since I've seen anything, so it's been quiet.
Hi, this is Natalie. Are you guys taking lunch?
Well, I was going to put that question to the group. We're kind of winding down here. We've got an AFF update, maybe a little bit of discussion about where we're at with mortalities this year versus last, and then a couple of other quick updates regarding the B2 trash rate.
Let's get her done.
I'm the last one on the list.
Oh, we'll make sure
we can buffer for it. $2.
Shoot, Sean stepped out for a minute. We were going to...
Do you want to cover Natalie's and then
take... Well, Natalie, why don't you go ahead?
Go ahead and brief.
Go ahead and go to
lunch.
Go ahead and brief.
Okay, so I'm briefing on number 10, guys. The Hyundai North Ladder, you've asked me to tell you where we're at on that. Okay, so on the pumps portion, we met with upper management last Friday, and our direction is to finalize the failure report we got from an objective third party And to summarize that, it's pointing to design issues, which is a subcontractor issue. And then we're to discuss it with the prime contractor, Olson, and see how they respond to making these fixes. If they don't, then we're going to have to formally provide them with a cure letter through contracting. And so that's a brief update about the pumps. Is there any questions for me on the pumps? Okay, on the entrance work, yeah, basically I don't know how many rounds we've done on the O&M and as-built manuals, but several rounds. We have a couple issues to get completed on the adding the anodes and the trash racks. There were some coating deficiencies and getting the lifting beams in place. And then operations flagged that they lost a piece of the plastic on the variable width weir. So they're working that detail to get that fixed. So are there any questions for me on the entrance?
I do have a question for you, Natalie, on the pumps, thinking about it.
Who is that?
This is Trevor with NOAA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Gary stepped out of the room for a second. This might come up. But so you didn't really describe exactly what is the issue with the pumps and, you know, with that particular issue, how long will they last?
Yeah, okay. So right now, pump four has failed. Okay, so it's down and in pieces. We had made an agreement with Olson to bring in a third party in order to get an objective, basically, forensic analysis as to why that pump failed, because it's the fifth pump failure we've had. And so, basically, we have not been able to do anything until we got this report that told us what has occurred. So then, the implication is that what they found in the study affects all six pumps. However, five pumps are up and running and seem to be fine. But the issue is that the pumps don't let us know when they're going to fail. They just fail and go down. They fail catastrophically and go down. But so far we're fine. We've had five pumps. We made it through the freshet this season with, five pumps running, four pumps needed, and we're proceeding to get everything up and fixed properly.
So you could have one more failure and still maintain criteria? You said four pumps needed.
I think that we can run four pumps to meet criteria. We just we have to run them full and open. I mean, we just have to run them higher than we expect. I mean, luckily they're robust pumps.
Is that what makes it fail?
They don't sound very robust. But.
Well, they are in that they crank a lot of flow through when they're
when they work.
Then they're working fine. So that's what I mean by robust. They can provide a lot of flow. So that's a good thing.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to sign off. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie.
Bye.
So I assume we're going to get an update on that when you guys know. So we get the shaft, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
And I'm not going to make the comment that, they have the same problem at Ice Harbor now. And obviously, we've learned really well from that.
Thank you for not making that comment. That was very big of you to hold that in.
What do you guys want first, the trash rake update or the AFF?
Trash rake.
So, this update is basically that we had a hiccup in our schedule with the ROV inspection we had scheduled for August 6th to look at the improvements and help the project align the components on the trash rake. And that was due to some contracting and personnel constraints in Bonneville. The rake is being modified and the modification is underway right now. This picture was sent to us yesterday. And that shows the plating that's being modified to to hold the brushes. The rake is over at the shop right now, and the scraper mechanism will be attached later. What's that?
So you have brushes. I was asking him if it made sense.
So you've got brushes on one of them right now.
That's one brush. Of all those squares are going to have brushes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the brushes are going to engage the trash rack much better than what we currently have, which was a bunch of bent teeth at the time.
Is that really the question?
And push that stuff down to the bottom.
And so it's like so optimistic.
It's like a plywood wall with a bunch of stuff stuck on it.
It's like someone's garage.
Like dog board.
That's what the rake looks like. Yeah.
It's a picture of waterfall.
That's the picture of the rake. That's.
And you refresh
it. Looks like plywood.
It is.
It could have got one thing.
We progressed dramatically. I'm just going to go back out.
You're familiar with the rake. You know what
I am. Right? The rake doesn't look like that.
This is the side that goes up against the trash rack.
This side you don't see. Okay.
So that's the bottom edge of it.
Yeah, I guess I need to step back about, the pictures.
So were they also, they were supposed to have, were they have some teeth or something like that that were going to go as well, or are you guys just going to brush it?
There's a UHMW, I think is the material, kind of a scraper that would sit against the trash rack, and that's what we're going to use the ROV for, to help align that and inspect the racks to make sure the rack-to-rack alignment is such that we don't just break that thing off.
Yeah.
But, what we had out there before was, didn't really... I mean, it pushed the large grass mats.
Yeah,
didn't
get on that.
It didn't engage the trash rack very well. This should get into that in-between clear spacing much better than what we had.
And this schedule have this up and running when?
Well, that's, we're modifying the rake right now.
Yeah.
We've got grass season coming.
Yeah.
There's delays to, the perf plate. I got hung up in contracting. So we, weren't able to get all the material to the project so that they could make it on.
So next year, basically.
No, we're going to, in November, we're hoping to get the ROV inspection back out there before the winter maintenance period.
We're not going to have it for the kind of the debris load season this year. We won't get a good test of its effectiveness until next year.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. The rake works. I mean, they still are planning to use it for the grass season that's coming down.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. Something.
No, the way that the modifications are being constructed, they're not stripping the entire rake. They're doing it sequentially so that, in the event that debris starts to pick up and they need it, they can haul it back over there and use it.
So where is this sitting at?
That's over at the Bradford Island Maintenance Building.
You're also looking at tomorrow.
Bradford Island.
I mean, I don't know exactly where it is.
It's in the shop.
At the shop?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
In the sled.
You'll see it looks like plywood with red on it.
It's made out of wood.
Looks like.
Let's just put for the lead paint dust.
It's over there.
But
just someplace to avoid.
And then you're also going to have some sort of like catch system that would attach this to help catch the debris.
Yeah, the perforated plate that was going to be added to it was to help retain that debris, push it down. There's that grabber arm mechanism so we can engage it at the bottom. But a lot of the problem was, there was no way to contain the debris. And so when you push down, hopefully that debris will go up and into the rake. And then when you close the thing at the bottom, then you can extract it to the surface and pull it out on deck.
So this was that contraption. Sorry if I was wrong. We looked at last federated meeting. We had the diagram.
That's a very small. This is a telephoto view of it.
This is a close-up view of the rig.
This is the
working edge of it.
That's just like a wall with a bunch of ports in it.
It's a box essentially that has an arm on it that grabs stuff. It's not.
Just not seeing the arm and all the rest of the parts.
Right.
It's Frankenstein put together.
Lord's
Memorial Rake is actually in the boneyard.
And you know who that was from? That was Schwarzenegger. So
that's right.
That would be
So, you know, we should see some improvement with this.
What the hell is that? The chair is there.
But okay, well, we look forward to the next picture.
Yeah, hopefully by November, we, some of our challenges are going to be to, work with the busy, winter maintenance schedule, of course.
Yeah.
You know, get the dive ROV out there to help the project align this thing, to test it, make sure it works. And then, of course, at that time of year, as we move into winter, our water clarity is going to be not as consistent as we normally have the first week of August. So we're going to have to work around that stuff as well.
Who's in charge of writing the change form for this one?
Writing the change form for...
How would they operate it and that kind of stuff?
It's already been submitted. It's now just a matter of following it.
What do you?
No, I'm just thinking. At some point we're going to need to bow to our kitchen. I need to finish up the change form or check sheet. Because one thing we thought about is one is reporting how often they're raking, and then correlating that to the drawdowns, and make sure that we're actually able to operate this in a way that it gets at the overall solution.
Well, we don't want to float trash off the rack every day. That's always been a problem, is having
the... And that's the language that was taken out of the fish passage. So they should be raking rather than floating.
Yeah, floating, right.
And that's something we need to verify and make sure that's actually happening. It's not, it's obviously not going to be the
long term. Nothing leads to longevity.
There's a...
When do you anticipate they'll actually run this job?
Excuse me?
When's the first day they'll operate?
A fully modified rig?
Yes, I mean, so when we have the language in place in time for when they start operating, what's the...
Hopefully by next season.
Next season.
If we can't get all the mods done, we're still in contracting with the perforated plate. If we can't have that done by November, by the tiny little window that we may have to work with the structural crew before the busy winter maintenance period, before the fish units go out of service, then we're pushed back till March to test it. But what's happening in March? Navlock.
Yeah.
Right after that.
We can do the FPP review in our normal schedule. Doesn't have to be celebrated. You're not going to be done in time.
So how long has this been under construction? It's been since the last
time. Top.
No. It's been under construction. Just for these mods?
This specific.
No, the issue.
This issue or this right. issue or this, this iteration no, of solving this
I don't
issue.
Want to go back to the issue start. It seems like when we talked about this last night, it was moving forward, the construction was going to happen. Now you're talking about delays that occurred.
Yes, that's correct. We had plans that we were submitting to the project. The project was going to take on a construction. However, part of the components that needed to be built, this perforated plate for the catch basin around it, needed to go through contracting so it could be fabricated and delivered to the project. Well, we got hung up in contracting. It wasn't delivered to the project by their drop-dead date to have all the components so we could meet that ROV inspection. And that ROV inspection was built around Bonneville's fishway inspection to capitalize on, the unit outage that would regularly occur at that time and the lull in fish passage to minimize fish impacts. Well, we missed that, and now we're a couple weeks later and we've got a big fall Chinook run.
We're just seeing the picture of the red thing with the...
I was just thinking about that. Do we have, I'm sure there's drawings of all the mods somewhere.
I probably have it in my folders.
Tom, are you satisfied with that?
I know what kind of one. Okay. And by the way, do those kids have a handling permit for that fish?
Yeah, it's called my Washington fishing license. A2 trash rate. So what did we want to look at?
Ask Eric, because I mean, I've sat through enough of these meetings. I know what you're trying to get done. That's the timeline, so it's a matter of...
Yeah, just a better perception of what it's going to take to be done with that construction piece, which you're describing as needing to be done.
The project estimate for the actual mods is only 3 weeks.
So once you get the bits, you expect it to go together quickly. Right. Right now, this isn't that big a piece of equipment. It doesn't shouldn't no. take that long.
It's contracting and other issues, project resourcing and.
Okay. No, I'm not trying to shake the bush.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well,
probably. Yeah. Oh, you could pull up the DDR. I might have the full 100% DDR. Okay.
See this slide.
So Eric, a lot of those documents will be available on the website, the FCOM website. If you go to the NW Pyramid, you'll find a link for the trash rate.
There should be some engineered drawings in here somewhere.
Oh, I see. Picture.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
How big is that?
Yeah, that's what I recall.
There's the rake. So what you're seeing, see this edge right here? Yeah. We're looking at the opposite side of this. In that picture, the brush is on the opposite side of this. This is the catch basin. So the trash rack sits like this. So this is going down. Does that make sense? That's how that's oriented. Yeah, the debris hopefully will go up and get caught, in where the perforated plates are. And the arm will grab it and retain it so we can extract it to the surface. So we're not just pushing a pile down to the bottom, totally. Creating a mound.
Okay, well, we trust here it's all going to be fine.
I'm trusting with Tom for an eye.
Pushes it all down to the bottom.
Tom's keeping an eye on it. So the next item on the agenda was the AFF. And so, we've been making mods. We have our observation boxes. We changed the design of the valve 15 overflow weir, extended the bypass pipes outside the lab, and then removed them after we had excessive mortality in 2013. They are currently removed. And then we added the baffle and the floor plating just outside the braille pool area. And so this year, we made modifications to the trash ability to rake trash in that lab, and that's been a significant improvement. Done some operational modifications in the lab as well, especially in the bypass condition. We're running the lab with minimal flow into the lab at night through valve 15. I think it's helped with shad build up on the.
That was my question. How did the shad season go this year?
It went much better.
Yeah. Did Steve Lee.
We were running the valve at 20% open overnight, which is a significant reduction in flow. It raises the water level in the lab, and Ida's been working really hard with the project to get new water level sensors installed, so we can potentially test, a 0% flow through that lab overnight. And with no flow in that area, we're hoping everything will evacuate, or we'll want to evacuate.
It seems like this year has been a lot better than last year.
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet of this year's mortality. Okay, so here's where we're at. Here's where we're at this year. We have the 2013 total. Let's start with the two below. So 2013 total, up until August 13th last year, we had 22 Chinook, 10 sockeye, 35 lamprey, and one steelhead. And the 2014 total up until today, last or this year, you know, we reduced it from 22 Chinook down to 5, essentially, 4 adults.
Oh, don't count mini-jack. Mini-jack's okay.
And then, so sockeye's pretty much the same, and lamprey's pretty much the same. We've seen some improvement with Chinook. It's a little bit early to start jumping to any conclusions, of course, because last year, you know, in September and October, we had huge numbers of mortalities, and you can see the 2013 totals up above. You know, we had 95 Chinook mortalities.
So most of those were fall run.
So I think we're pretty similar as far as sockeye and lamprey and steelhead.
Well, not sockeye or not, because the run this year was much larger.
We have a
600
in my head, 13,000.
We have Andy put this together for us. Some mortality percentage versus Washington Shore Passage 2013 and 2014. And Andy, if you want to comment on anything here.
Yeah, do you have the newer version of what I sent you? It's a little bit easier to look at.
Is this not the newer version?
It doesn't go to the 0.00399374
yeah, exactly.
Version good.
You're complaining about
that. I like that. At least it was concise and direct. Statistically invalid.
This one?
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to look at.
Okay,
it's not as many signatures. So basically, what you're looking at here in those right two sections, you got 2013, 2014. 14 is only up through the 10th of this month. But you'll see columns there for total passage past Bonneville for each year, and then also total passage through the Washington Shore Count Station. And it should be noted that that Washington Shore Count Station includes fish that pass through the Cascades Island Ladder, which is the north side of the spillway. So those numbers are really higher than the fish that would impact through the AFF. And then the AFF mortalities, and then the percentage of those mortalities based off fish that were enumerated at the Washington Shore Count Station. And then on the left, those rows are by species. So you've got Chinook, sockeye, coho, steelhead, and lamprey at the bottom. And really the only ones that are relevant right now are the sockeye ones, because that runs basically over. So you can kind of look at that. There's some numbers there for
adult lamprey should be winding down too.
Yeah, and lamprey is the other one you can kind of compare. And both of those show a marked improvement.
Any relationship with density on these? I mean, does the percentage alter greatly? Essentially no matter mortality occurred. I mean, this is an aggregate of what happened over all fall season.
And it's not complete for 2014 yet.
Well, just any specific not for sockeye, because the density of sockeye being much, much higher, yet the number lower is the same, and the percentage is obviously lower because of that. So the density didn't cause something to go out of whack. If you look at this, what it tells me is that the mods that you made, you have made
an improvement impact for
everything that we have so far.
Yeah, so far it looks promising.
I think the fall run will be really telling.
And also right now, we're in the high temp range, which is when we saw a lot of mortality last year. So by the time that we get through that and into
October, so I guess that's really what I'm asking. Where are the covariates in this? How do they impact
it? Yeah, and I think we just have to wait and see.
It's looking good. Looking better than it did last year.
So this is on our agenda for the next meeting?
What we plan to do with AFF is have a subcommittee meeting probably in later September, early October, when we get more data. And what the team is faced with is making the decision of, do we reattach the bypass pipes or do we leave it as is?
Right.
You know, and I don't know. We'll have to talk.
Think about that too. And you reattach them. It wouldn't just be a reattachment. We have to have a
Correct.
A little different design, too.
Yeah, Steve Seif, he's been...
So that they don't...
Yep.
Fish can't swim back up.
He's been working with the alignment of those pipes as it connects to the square around transition of the flume and steepening the slope and where they let out above the water elevation. So we'll be able to take a look at that at our next meeting.
Okay, clear.
Have you looked at the ratio sample to unsampled mortalities to see how that compares?
Yeah, if you did on that first sheet, you can actually take a look at it.
We have identified which ones have pit tags.
There were actually more.
There were many more of just the non-sampled fish in of those mortalities. Sampled fish mortalities
that went down, so the baffles probably went down.
Yeah, we
have
four sockeye that were pit tagged. They look like cryptic tags.
Well, actually, the percent of looking at the how the sample fish make up the total kind of went up. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, and then I had a couple of
that'd be some interesting out there.
But in 2013,
we compare it to past years, we have last year and beyond.
What's that?
It's comparing that ratio sampled on sample to previous years to see if we've got a lower ratio.
Well, see, that's part of the problem with comparing pre-2012 is researchers are reporting everything now in much better compared to past years.
Well, at least to last year, I guess.
Yeah.
These might be 12, 13, and 14.
Yeah. We are planning to pull 12 into this as well. Last year we had, tank chinook and a sockeye, two sockeye, three sockeye.
So when do you get a decision by to reattach the bottom of those pipes?
Well, we're going to have to probably have our contractor come back and attach them. If we decide to go that route, so by early fall. Sometime in October, we'd get the
note.
You'd have to get the small part project contracting and do it during the winter maintenance period.
You're not getting your data done in time to make that decision.
Right.
We'll just be finishing up by that time frame. So, is it next year you'll reattach them? The decision for now is.
We're shooting for this winter maintenance period.
Yeah, when we're up now.
Yeah.
So.
But he's going to go ahead and put them on here. You're okay with that?
What's that?
Are you saying you wouldn't worry about putting pipes on now? Okay.
No, I'm not saying the problem.
Yeah. He's put them on. Mm-hmm. He's put them on this winter work period. That's why I'm bringing it up.
No, we haven't decided yet.
Don't throw them away.
Yeah, we're not going to throw them away.
I mean, I think they could go on, but I don't see it as a critical issue. I don't see a problem to require us to have to do anything quickly.
Yeah.
So get a look at the data, and if it takes 2 years before we're going to put those on, it, whatever. I just want to get rid of them.
I'll
keep them.
And it's something that's easy. It's pretty easy to reattach. It's not going to take much. Yeah, I think it's going to help.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be done right now, unless something changes this fall.
Yeah, I guess
we'll see something to the rest of the data. If we start seeing some problems in the fall, then we're going to want to take that. But if we don't, we'll probably have one more time.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, the non-sampled fish, which ones are going through the flume and mortalities versus which ones are bypassing the lab and falling back into the area.
Right, I know. It's always the issue. I mean, you just try to do the best you can with everything that you can. I guess what I would suggest is let's get through the year, let's get through the data, and then
go from there.
Make a decision there. It takes you 2 years to get them in there. I was thinking that unless we see a big problem, we get excited about them. I don't see a reason that that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like we've changed from sample. There's a small percentage of sample fish, so more time we're seeing is from non-sample fish. Some of those might be going through pipes, so if you attach them, you're probably making it better for them,
right.
But it's probably not critical.
Right.
I think we've definitely given you something out of what you guys made things better.
Yeah.
So,
it looks like it. So I think we're feeling pretty happy with the baffle and the baffle positioning, based on what we're seeing so far, with the shad and the ability to reduce the amount of shad they're building up on the trap drag. It's a kind of a baffle and an operation combination.
That's why I was asking, because
was a decent shad year. Not one of the biggest ones ever, but it was,
no, big, though.
It was a good season, yeah. And if you guys felt much more comfortable with operations.
$2.5 million, something like that.
Yeah, it was, so yeah, if you guys feel comfortable with how things are operating, that's great.
Yeah, I know. I talked to Steve Lee out there, and he said, yeah, that feels great. You know, as far as shed blockage and problems, he was pretty happy with the way it went. So
I thought our issues, they seem to be relatively happy with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, that's good. We probably fix the baffle then in the position it's in, and you know, make something permanent more long term for the project.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like adjustability, you know, with the operation that we were able to achieve, and you know, after sample hours, I don't know if it's necessary to be able to raise it. The need to raise it. Shatter moving out of the lab.
Well, let's, yeah.
But we can talk more in detail.
Let's get these data. Yeah. Let's get these next couple of weeks. And through mid-September, at least, then we'll have a really much better idea.
Yeah.
If we should pat ourselves on the back or not.
Right. You know, I don't really have any other updates. George was here. I might have been back here for the turbine survival program update. And, oh, yeah, we need to finalize the meeting minutes from February. What's the proper way to do that? Anybody have any
concerns? Got the John Day North letter. I'm supposed to.
No.
Right now,
we already did it.
Okay.
That's all I am. That's all. Unless you want to talk about that.
No.
Hey, Andy, since you're here, you and Nathan did some video observations, took the GoPro into the AFF, right? Made some observations with Lamprey.
I did.
Oh, you and I
talked
about it. I mean, obviously, lamprey mortality is a question here. We don't really know what the source is, but do you want to relay what you guys saw and thoughts on it?
Yeah.
The sample size of one.
Yeah, pretty small. We did have the opportunity to look at one lamprey that was actually on the Valve 15 trash rack, kind of swimming back and forth. And the video doesn't really show much, but it just got us thinking that lamprey, if they get stuck back there in that area right in front of the Valve 15 trash rack, the trash rack itself is obviously grating, the floor is grating, and also the walls, except for the west wall, are also grating. So there's really very little attachment surfaces for lamprey back in there. And with the velocities that we see in that area, which can be 2-3 feet per second sometimes, enough to wear lamprey out. It'd be tough for them to deal with that sustained swimming speed for a while. So Sean and I were talking about maybe putting in some minor pieces of plating, like 6 inches wide on the floor, on the corners, and maybe on the sides of the trash racks. So if lamprey do get back there, they'd have the opportunity to at least suck on and get into rest mode instead of being forced to sweep, so free swim the entire time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because
they
won't make it. That's right. At night, you guys are going down to
it's basically stock water.
So they hang out through the day, hang on, as they do. Yep. And then get out of there at night.
Yeah. So I think it'd be worthwhile.
Well, that was one question you were going to ask. It's like, it seems like you're seeing more back there. That was when you were talking about the front operation. You're asking the internet tomorrow. So you guys are looking at that, that's good.
It's all you could do, really. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the curious thing there, of course, is that we have a long history of that trap is super effective, the trap that's just upstream of there, and so I'm not sure what's going on, whether there's kind of a, you get lamprey to turn off, into that channel or something.
So yeah, then that makes it seem more important to have
right.
Something to refuge.
How about can you transport from that boat?
I would put OPS in there.
No more.
Sure.
An LPS converter.
Put
a hole inside.
Maybe you could tie it into the half ice harbor ladder.
Yeah. Oh, you could.
Yeah, good.
So, when do you think you'll do those modifications? Or have
the
This winter, maybe. This winter. We could use some of the old UHMW that we had.
Yeah, we could have Schlenker do a little.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of waiting on. See how it would affect the velocity and contact, right?
That's a good idea.
Sedell's Wall. So Jeff Ament could not be here today, but he did provide an update. And see here. So they saw some areas of erosion via hydro surveys. The end of the wall where the velocity did increase. And the rock was already eroding in the hallway.
Hey, now you're scaring me.
Well, apparently there was some erosion, but it's happened, the rate of erosion has stopped. And Jeff really needs to give this update. I can't do it justice. You guys can read this over. I'll send this out. And he's happy to, you know, talk about it anytime. And we talked about it, you know, at the AFF meeting. And, you know, when we have a...
We talked about getting more formalized updates, you know, from the PMs. Maybe that's the time to do that, is to get something.
Yeah. This is his written update right here.
This is it?
This is his written update, yeah. And so I don't know if you guys want to read through it or...
Yeah, send it out.
Yeah, send it out.
We'll send it out, yeah.
So Gary, you're going to ask about the turning and pinning cables tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Why we might be asking, yeah.
Yeah, that's still going to be, it's kind of slid off.
He was
looking at Anna Corey's reports for funded things or unfunded things. He's not even on the unfunded list. That's
Burns are working on it.
Burns hasn't let it go.
Yeah,
I didn't think he would. I'm just surprised to see that it wasn't there. This helps get us a little more attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it one of those telling basin?
I do not have anything on that. You know, Lori Ebner's out, Matt, yeah, we're trying to retrieve another update, a written update that we can send out. We don't have it yet.
Greg's going to do a survey of the basin to see how much rock may have pulled in or not.
You know, I got an MFR from Matt Cutts that I haven't had a chance to look at yet, but it might have some of that detail in it. If I can send that out, I will.
Well, let's talk to Brad as he was leaving earlier about making sure we get a Bonneville discussion, Fitterway, SRWG combined, probably discussion going, and like we talked about this morning, earlier this morning. And that's the topic. I mean, you know, we're looking at compliance with form standards, where is the core at? Obviously, we budgeted for another test on 15, well, 16, I guess now. So there's that coming up. But what do we do between now and then, given the data that we have? Just do a test, hope for the best, or are there operational or configuration lots that you make between now and then? One of those is obviously the spillway, since it has one of the lowest survival rates in the project.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bond rehab team that's pretty new. I think one of the major focuses when they were getting together was to look at spillway, but they are looking at everything at Bonneville.
Right.
You know, anything that's not powerhouse related, essentially, or large cap programs related, I believe, is even the tech lead on the PDT, it's Randy Lee, and you know, we're trying to define the line where what would be considered a major rehab item versus a large cap program,
right,
type of thing. And so they're coming up with their list of stuff, I'm not real familiar with it yet, but I will be getting into it more in September after Erdic.
Well, maybe getting, you know, once you've had a chance to start scoping some of that out, but I know that we've been talking about major mods in that spillway for years.
Yeah, when Brad comes back, I'll talk more with him about it. Long term program and pull something together.
So that's about all we have for now.
Just make sure you email out the updates again.
Yeah, we'll email out the updates to all underway, and we're going to try to make that a regular occurrence.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks.
So what's your next meeting date?
We don't know yet.
When do you want it?
It's going to be determined.
Yeah, we're talking about going quarterly or ad hoc meetings.
We're twice a year, so in December.
It's going to be April and May. April, May.
Yeah, we're going to have some the need for some special fairways before that, but yeah. We're going to have to
do something like January. Well, December's going to suck, so you know that's not
good. Yeah, maybe January. We'll send out some doodle polls. I'm going to pencil in January.
I was just kidding, but I guess not.
And then we need to approve last February's meeting minutes.
I've already finalized.
We've already done it.
Yeah. Closed in a lack of
interest.
February closed in a lack of interest. Yeah, I have fun.
Because I said thank you, folks on the phone.
And thank
that
you
concludes the meeting.
Okay, here's sort of the slide over there tomorrow. For a phone.
That's downstairs. Sweet.
Supposedly they've improved, they've rejiggered the top